Praise the Lord. Let's give him praise and let's magnify his name. Praise God. And you want to continue to be in prayer for Sister Deborah? Praise God. Psalms 85. We're making our way. We're nearly halfway through the Bible. At this rate, we may not make it. I don't know if we lose points or something, but this prophecy stuff is cranking up. Praise God. How would your faith be if we had a little nuclear exchange and life as you knew it changed forever? Nothing matters but this Holy Ghost. Nothing matters but this Word of God. I mean, I like the way we're living. But it may not always. Of course, they probably don't know where some places are, like deep Ecuador and remote parts of Africa. Places like Mississippi and Alabama, they probably. They may not know where we are. Psalms 85, beginning in verse 9. Everybody say, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Praise God. God bless you. Be seated and give him praise for his word. We want to thank you, Lord, and praise you, mighty God, for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, and we praise you. And we thank you. Praise God. Praise God. As per our discussion and our service Sunday night, you want to be thinking about your commitment, your family's commitment to building fund. We're going to launch out into the deep, and we're going to see the wonders of the Lord in deep waters. And we're to do that, we're going to have a systematic way of building those new buildings and taking care of our building debt, and at the same time continuing to support our missions work and home missions and anything else we need to do. And so just be in prayer about that. And Sunday morning we're going to bring the Sunday school group over, and we're going to have a commitment service. And then the first Sunday of August the 6th, will be our first building fund commitment, or rather our building fund offering service. And we'll repeat that the first Sunday morning of every month. And we'll see what God will do. I just believe the gift of giving is going to come down upon this fellowship. And I believe you're going to do. When I read in the Word of God how the people of God respond to Moses and to David in a day where God just pours out his blessing on his people, I just believe God's going to do something awesome in this fellowship and in this church. And I'm excited about this. I really am. Psalms 85. And in this psalm and in the entirety of God's dealing with his people throughout every dispensation, there is always a process for coming to God. Everybody say a process. And the process always requires participation. Nobody's going to be in heaven that doesn't participate in the process. There won't be any accidental stumbles into heaven. There won't be anybody there saying, how did I get here? There won't be anybody there griping about it because they've worked hard all their time on earth to get there. There won't be anybody dissatisfied with it because they've paid the price to make their way in to eternity with God. And so there's a process in every dispensation, and it requires participation or response from those that are going to be a part of the kingdom of God. Genesis chapter 6, the word of God says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And if you take that in a modernist context, modern quasi-Christianity, they think that grace means a license to sin and live any way you want to live, or unmerited favor with God. Simply, you can't do anything to be right. But I'm holding up a whole book here that is an instruction manual on what to do and how to do it in order to be right with God. Now, all of that being said, if he doesn't go to the cross, there's no hope for us. If he doesn't pour out the Holy Ghost, there's no hope for us. We understand that God is the major player in this thing, and we're just attendants in his kingdom. But nonetheless, the book is full of process, and the book is full of an admonition for us to participate with God. For Noah, when he found grace, for all those that object to works being a part of your experience in God, when Noah found grace, Noah found a job. He was going to work 100 years, and if he doesn't work, he's lost like everybody else. Don't even start a conversation with me about the fact that God doesn't require works. That's not even intellectually honest. You are not for real. You just want to be a lazy quasi-Christian. And you don't want to be held accountable for your lifestyle and your behavior. But if you open this word of God, there's a rule and a law and there's a way. And the word of God said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Praise God. In the Exodus, God brings his people out in one night. Everybody say one night. But it takes him 2 years at Sinai to make them the people of God. They were not the people of God. They were going to become the people of God at Sinai. I'm glad you came to the altar. I'm glad you got the Holy Ghost. I'm thrilled you got baptized in Jesus' name. And God can do some miraculous work in you in one night's time. God can break the chains. God can bring you out of Egypt. God can bless you. And you can pass through the waterway and see alcohol and cocaine and bad lifestyle and everything else covered up by the water. But it's going to take an experience in the word of God. If you're going to be the people of God, thousands are going to come and bow a knee at an altar, but they won't be there in that great getting up morning. It's going to be those that sit down at Sinai, or they sit down at the feet of the word of God, and they get themselves redefined, shaped over again by the word of God. There's a process. There's a process. And God's not coming tonight to hold a gun to anybody's head. God's not coming tonight and saying, if you don't do this, I'm going to hurt you. God's not coming down and forcing anybody. What are you doing? I'm living for God, but he's making me. God's not going to do that to anybody. If you live for God tonight, it's going to be because you stand up and you say, I've heard the word. I've seen how much he loves me. I've fallen in love with him. I love him more than I love this world. And I'm going to make my way into his kingdom. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. There's a process, and they've got to become the people of God by the process of the word of God, and they've got to be participants in a willing sense, and God brings them out, and God shapes them by his word, and God gives them everything they need to come into his presence and go into promise. But after they're anointed, they dig their heels in and they say, we're not going. And they don't go into promise. And they fail in the calling of God because God's given them a process, but they won't participate. I don't want to be a part of this. It looks like it's too tough of a job. Let me tell you something. God's show is the only show in town. God's process, God's program is the only program in town. All the banks are going to close down. All the universities are going to turn to dust. All the degrees are going to become frayed and fettered. The stars are going to go out. Every army is going to fail. Every parliament is going to disband. Every president is going to die. But those that are obedient to the word of God, they're going to live forever with God. It's the only show in town. It's the only program worth being a part of. Well, praise God. They died in the wilderness because they failed to participate in the process. Praise God. In this 85th Psalm, we see in verse 9, salvation is near to those that fear him. We see the connection or the corollary between salvation and a heart that fears God. In verse 10, we see mercy and truth met together. Mercy is what we all need, and mercy is what we all desire. But truth is the standard and the rigid expectation of God. And those two things are connected and can't be disbanded. He said they've come together. And in verse 10, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Everybody wants peace, but I'll tell you, it won't come without righteousness. There's a process. You can't have the good stuff of the kingdom without abiding the process of the kingdom. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. The tabernacle plan was the process for the Mosaic period. Tabernacle plan was the process for Israel. They had a daily practice. They had altar of sacrifice and cleansing and washing and offering of incense and light and bread. They dealt with those things every day. Twice a day they offered up sacrifices. There was daily practice, and that daily practice gave them access to veiled, powerful things in a sequestered, hidden area that was filled with the Shekinah glory of God. It was provision and word chiseled in a rock that could not change, and authority that fit in the hand of a man, and fellowship. Those cherubims that were there, they were standing one on either end of that golden lid on that box, the mercy seat. They are literally standing on mercy. God gives them a daily practical process to give them access to mercy, to give them access to godly fellowship, to give them access to authority that can be handled by a man. I'm telling you, we need authority in our lives and in our homes and in our families. We want, let me tell you, for the men in this house, you want authority in your house, you can't jettison the process of God. You want authority in your life, authority on your job, authority with your children or your wife. You can't set aside the process of God. The process, the daily practice, gets you in to those sweet things that you're seeking for. The mercy seat where you meet with God and sins are obliterated. Sweet fellowship in the presence of God. Everybody wants that. But I'm telling you, there's a price associated with every one of these powerful and wonderful things that God has made available for us. Praise God. Praise God. Psalms 85 and 9 there, his salvation is nigh to them that fear him. Would you say that? His salvation is nigh to them that fear him. Praise God. I want to pursue that for just a little bit here this evening. And I don't know how far we'll get with this this lesson. But Psalms 19 and beginning in verse 7. Would you say the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. One translation says reviving the soul. You want to get yourself revived? Get into the Word of God. I thank God for Sam Emery in this pulpit Sunday morning, lifting up and exalting and beating the drum for the Word of God all over again. Well, we love the Word of God, Brother Emery. Yeah, but we need to hear about it again. I need to get deeper in this Word. We haven't scratched the surface of what God wants to do and be in our lives. The law of God is perfect. It revives the soul. Would you say the testimony of the Lord is sure? Making wise the simple. You can get wisdom just by understanding the word of God. Well, praise God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. If you want to get happy, get into the book. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You want to see and understand your world and understand what's going on around you. Get into the depth of the word of God. Get into the process. Get into the process. The process is the word of God. Praise God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. This business of the fear of the Lord is inserted here in the middle of a discussion of the word of God, his law, his statutes, his commandments. The fear of the Lord is an idea and a sentiment that is dealt with throughout the entirety of the word of God. It has nothing to do with being afraid of God like you're afraid of bad Rottweilers, or afraid of God like you're afraid of the dark. It has all or everything to do with a reverential respect for God, and that is demonstrated by your reverential respect for the word of God. The way God knows your attitude about him is how you're walking this book that he left you. The way that God knows that you love him is that you keep his commandments. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. We can go down to Max tonight or any other bar room in this city, and we'll find drunks on every bar stool that'll swear they love God. And everybody loves God, and all the denominals love God, and everybody's holding hands and singing kumbaya. And they're going, oh, well, they love God. You love God if you keep the commandments. You can't separate the two. If you're not keeping the commandments, you don't love God. Say it again. If you're not keeping the commandments, you don't love God. And it's inserted there in that discussion of the word of God because the fear of the Lord is a right response to the word of God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You demonstrate your fear of the Lord. Well, you got to understand where we're coming from here in Psalms 85. His salvation is nigh them that fear him. I don't know about you. I want to be saved. I don't even know how to judge your response there. I can't tell about you, but I want to be saved. I've got to be saved. Nothing else matters but being saved. My God, I can make all the money in the world, but if I spend 5 minutes in hell, nothing is going to matter. Nothing's going to matter. I've got to be saved. I want my children to be saved. I want this church house and everybody in it to be saved. Nothing matters but that. Praise God. Salvation is nigh. It's near those. You draw near to salvation just simply by reverencing the word of God and obeying the word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because there's a process. And you can't abdicate nor jettison the process. You've got to be a part of the process of God in order to have the benefits of the kingdom and the benefits of the program. Psalms 25, and beginning in verse 10. Everyone say, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. How do I stumble into mercy and truth? I keep his covenant. I keep his statutes. I keep the word of God. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not. I don't want to hack God off. How do I do that? I walk by the word of God. You are living in a generation that is playing religion, and they've set aside the word of God. You're living in a generation that loves the commentaries, but they don't love the word of God. You're living in a generation that loves the house, and they even love the music, and they love the praise, but they don't love the word of God. They want to come in among you, and they want to sing the song, I am a friend of God, but they don't want to bow a knee at the word of God and obey the scripture in terms of lifestyle and behavior. Well, praise God. That's the generation we're living in. You might tell me where they've got a big crowd, but a big crowd is not the church. You might tell me they got a full house, but the full house is not a full church. It's only the church if it's built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. There's a process, and you can't circumvent it. You can't set it aside or go around it. All of the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those that keep his covenant and his testimonies. Praise God. Do you understand this, that the harder you do this, the easier it gets? Do you understand this, that the more that you are specific in your response and obedience to the word of God, this flesh is so subtle and the devil is so subtle. And he'll come to you and he'll tell you, lay aside that commandment. Lay aside that admonition of the word of God. That's just an old holiness standard from that preacher. And some of that is just negotiable. Other churches don't maybe do it that way. Let me tell you something. You better find yourself a pastor and you better line up with the word of God in that house. Because when you're fudging on the standards and you're fudging on the lifestyle issues, your whole soul and everything you're doing is at risk. Because you've already started down a long and a slippery slope. My God, get me away from the edge. I want to find where the middle of it is, and I want to get in it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're the United Pentecostal Church. We're an apostolic church. We don't have televisions in our home. I thank you for 30% of you. We don't have televisions in our home. We don't have them in our home because we want to obey the word of God. And there's nothing good coming out of that. That's all about cussing and fussing and sinning and adultery and whoring. That's all that is. That's all that is. You got to compromise your Holy Ghost. To turn that on, you got to turn your Holy Ghost off. Don't talk to me about that. I see a whole district right now going down the tubes. I see a whole district setting aside their holiness standard. You'd ask me where it began. It began when they started getting soft on having televisions in their homes and going to movies. How did that touch them? It touched them because those are the two primary cultural communicators in our society today. And they began to change. You give them 15 years, they'll look like the Assembly of God and the Church of God. They're going to back off on every holiness standard. They're going to back off on every holiness standard. And it's because they've begun to entertain the world and be entertained by the world. But I'm telling you something. God's called us to revival. And God's called us to touch a city. And we're not going to back off. There's a process involved here. And we're not going to back off on the process. Somebody say praise the Lord. You ask me why that man's running. He's running because he's already lived through a church that used to have a standard and they laid it down. He's already seen families destroyed and a church destroyed because of the lifestyle that was allowed to go on in that place. Don't tell me that it's not so. I've been too close to it. Why wouldn't you want to be conservative about the word of God? Be liberal in mercy. Be liberal in love. Be liberal in hope. Be liberal in giving. But be conservative as you can be. Praise God. Praise God. I hadn't looked around much. I don't know what we have in the way of visitors here tonight or not, but this is Wednesday night. This is Bible study. This is what we are. This is what we are. We don't wear jewelry. We don't have televisions. We don't wear makeup. We don't dye our hair. Jesus said, you don't have power to change one white or black. I got chapter and verse. And all through the word of God, he talks about the powerful whore hair. H-O-A-R. White hair, sign of wisdom, Can't wait till you get some white hair up there, man. You go through enough trouble, you get white hair early or no hair. But those are things we don't do. Well, why don't we do those things? We don't do them because the elders looked at the word of God. And the elders said, these are the ways that we accomplish the word of God in our homes and in the culture of our church. And praise God, they did that. I picked this thing up when I was 20 years old. I didn't know anything about it, but I thank God for the word of God and the standards of the kingdom of God. And I wouldn't trade them for anything tonight. You say, well, are y'all kind of conservative? No, we're actually kind of middle of the road. There are some are a little tighter in some areas than we are. Praise God. But where we've set them, we're not going to back up from them. Where we've... Well, praise the Lord. This is what we are. Now, we just came out of Alabama Revival Conference. Let me tell you something. I stood there in the aisle with Larry Booker we keep calling it the Outer Limits Conference, but it's the No Limits Conference. And that conservative fundamentalist place is having this phenomenal seething revival. And you could just feel Holy Ghost and see strength and joy in the people. These things are connected. Salvation is nigh unto those that fear him. Mercy and truth have embraced one another. Praise, can you say praise the Lord? Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. You can't have one without the other. I'm starting to have trouble in my life. I'm not happy in church. I'm starting to have trouble in my... Let me tell you, as long as you live in this world, you're going to have trouble. There's always going to be some trouble. The body's going to break down. The world's going to come against you. The devil's going to come after you. But in the middle of all of that, an apostle who got beat up by his brethren, locked up by the enemy, drifted like a cork in the ocean for a day and a night, has a list of trial and tribulation a mile long. He said, this is joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said, it's peace that passes all understanding. How in the middle of that trouble can he have joy and peace? It's because he won't set aside the process. It's because he understands, if I do it hard, it's easy. But if I do it easy, I get hard. Well, praise God. Come on, Grandpa. Come on, Grandma. These babies need to see somebody going into midlife and not having a crisis. Come on. Come on, they need to see it. They need to see couples going into getting old together and not having to buy little red sports cars and find other men and other women. They need it. Come on now. I don't want to see you turn 48 and come in here with your shirt open down to here and gold chains, sporting an afro. And well, take me back to the 70s. I hear them say, take me back. I don't want to go back. God, I don't like that song. Praise God. Come on now, there's a connection here. There's a connection here between the good things and the process, between your response and your behavior and the process. Praise God, you got to do this. You got to do this right. Don't be a part of an apostolic church and just be kind of almost there. We're glad you're in the house because we have faith that you're going to come all the way in. That's our philosophy. But I, in the middle of Bible studies, I'm always having to tell new folks, I say, listen and hear me good. There'll always be people coming in and going out of an apostolic fellowship. If they're on their way in and you see little discrepancies in their life, they're coming. But if they're on their way out, there's a spirit on that. And they're setting things aside that they used to teach and believe. And they used to embrace. Why are they doing that? Because God's not good enough for them anymore. They're looking for something else. They're setting aside the process. They're looking for something else. They're like Israel, and they're looking for another lover. Something else to satisfy them. Praise God. Praise God. Are you okay? I have gone 9 miles east-west of these notes tonight. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. You thought this was planned. Praise God. Job is a perfect man. Loves God. Hates evil. He's perfect because he walks circumspectly around. That's what the word escheweth means. He escheweth evil. He walks around it. He doesn't want to get close to it. He's defining his life by the word of God. Praise God. We're still in Psalms 25. For thy name's sake, O Lord, we're in verse 11, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he? What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. A reverential respect for the word of God, and God begins to teach you. A disdain for the word of God, and God withdraws from your life. Praise God. I want God to show me. I want God to show me what we need to be as a church family, what I need to do to please him in my life. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. The secret, everybody say, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. You understand, those that fear him are those who walk the process, those who work the process of God. And he says, I'm going to show them those secret things. I'm going to let them, they're like Israel, going in through the process and breaking through the veil into that secret place of the Most High. Praise God. I don't want to disdain the things of God. I don't want to hear the word of God preached and just act like I haven't heard anything. I don't want to read it here. James said you're like a person that sees himself in a mirror, and you see it and you walk away and you forget what you've seen. You hear this word of God, you need to say yes, and you need to apply it to your life. Hook, line, and sinker. The whole. Is anybody in the house, do you feel that way? Do you feel like, God, I want to do this. I want to do it all. I want you to show me everything you have, oh God. I don't want to fudge on any of it. I don't want to know how easy I can go on it. I don't want to know how little it's going to take. Tell me, God, how little will it take for me to please you? I don't want to talk to God that way. I want to say, God, show me everything. How can I please you and give you joy, oh God? How can I serve you, Lord, and be the friend of God? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Everybody say, fear God. And keep his commandments. He distills the whole thing down to one line. Fear God. And what does that mean? Well, it means keep his commandments. It means obey the commandment of God. Praise God. I feel almost insulting tonight because this is so simple, and you already know all of this, and we're not dealing with anything new at all, are we? Living for God is not a difficult thing to comprehend, but it seems to be a difficult thing in application. Praise God. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. I don't know when or if we'll finish this, but let's come down around the altar tonight. There's a lot more here, but I've used up time on prophecy, and I don't want to keep you all night. Why don't you come down around the altar? And as you get here, just begin to tell God how glad you are to be in his kingdom and how much you want to serve him and please him and cause his name to be magnified. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You might want to lay your hand on somebody or take somebody's hand, but just let's talk to God. God, we love you. We praise you. We lift you. We magnify you. We want, oh God, to please you in everything that we do. We want to serve you, Lord, with gladness. We want the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts to be pleasing to you, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Show me your process, God. Show me the way that I need to go. Hallelujah. I want the mercy. And I want the peace. And I want the salvation. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. If you're serious about living for God, you got a TV in your home, you need to take it out and shoot it tonight. Find the closest dumpster. If you're fudging on the standards, stand in this altar tonight and tell God that's over with. I'm going to be straight and true, God. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't you let the Holy Ghost punctuate that prayer tonight? Hallelujah.